or anything, just let me know and I'll pause. Okay. So you can see that it's paused. I'll take notes. So how did the middle school choice program begin?
Well, the choice program began in Syracuse 4.5 years ago, and it was brought to our attention by the then superintendent, Stephen Jones. It was a replication of a program out of Baltimore, so he was familiar with it down there. Mm-hmm. And he was looking to have something like that start here. The private funding for it, which was local business people, really the first couple of years, had put forth some money, and they were looking for some sort of a model, some sort of a program that could. Initially, what they wanted was to try to put some sort of dent in juvenile gun violence and gang activity in the city. It was a particularly big issue at that time. Dr. Jones said, "I've got a great program." I personally was retiring from the school district that year. The superintendent knew I didn't want to really retire, and so he asked me if I'd be interested in kicking this program off. And after going down to Baltimore and spending some time down there and looking at the program, I was very interested. And so we kind of went from there. So originally the program was designed as an attempt to try to keep kids out of those criminal activities that we just talked about. It evolved rather quickly, though, because I knew that in order to really affect that kind of juvenile delinquent type activity, we really needed to address the issue of kids doing well in school. Mm-hmm. Because the only way I knew out of it, if your only alternative, if you weren't going to be educated and you weren't going to have any marketable skills, then the kids that we're talking about from the situations they're coming from are probably going to go towards destructive and self-destructive behaviors. So we sort of evolved into becoming a dropout prevention program, which to me is the same thing, mm-hmm. Except it's getting at the root cause or one of the root causes as opposed to just keeping kids out of gangs.
Great.
And we targeted middle school kids originally. Mm-hmm. It's evolved also.
So how did these businesses become involved? Did Dr. Stephen Jones recruit them? Or?
Well, it, so to speak. I mean, he already had a foundation set up, which had a lot of business connections. Dr. Jones himself was great at reaching out to folks in the community. There were two guys in particular at that time. Frank Clark, who's a local lawyer, was very involved and still is in all sorts of things in our community and has a particular interest in this issue of keeping kids safe. And another gentleman, Gary Pickard, who is another local businessman, real estate person. I'm not sure exactly what he did or does for a living. But those two guys were the real prime movers originally and are still involved. They're still on our advisory board. But they really reached out and made the phone calls and did the asks and managed to come up with $300,000 the first year, another $300,000 the second year. Our third year, most of our funding was from a grant from Congressman Walsh got for us. And our fourth year, this last year, it was a combination of grant, business folks, and the school district also. So we've really kind of been patching things together for a number of years, which is kind of the way it works for most not-for-profits.
So, was that in the paper that Dan Loengard, the new superintendent, I thought he had mentioned this program and said that they wanted to sort of bring it partly under the wing of the school district. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, so to speak. I mean, the new superintendent, Dan Loengard, supported us right from the beginning also. when he became superintendent, which is, I don't know what it is now, a year and a half, 2 years ago. So he just picked it right up. He saw the value in it. We had good results. We had good data to show we had good results. We expanded into high school. I asked if there's any way he could support us in any way, and he did. $200,000 last year, I think it was, which he got from grants. It wasn't out of his regular budget, but specific grants that his folks were able to find to help subsidize the program, and we were able to expand and help more kids. This year, the superintendent and the school district has stepped forward again to the tune of $200,000 this year. And what you're referring to is that there's a possibility of a big infusion of money into the Syracuse School District from this Say Yes program, which is a program that's I'm not even sure too much about how Say Yes itself works, but I know that they're working with Nancy Cantor up there at SU and with the school district and with folks in the state. And the planets seem to be coming into alignment that Syracuse is going to have an opportunity to be a really have a bold pilot experiment here in this urban area, where there would be a great infusion of money to support our kids K through 12, and also the governor is talking about offering kids who graduate from Syracuse City School Districts an opportunity to go to a SUNY school for free. And I guess there's 30 or 40 other private schools that are also in on this. I don't know which ones they are. If all that comes together, and we might know more in the next couple of months, then the superintendent is talking about putting us in there to greatly expand the number of kids. We currently serve 180 kids. We are a combination now of Choice and Hillside Work Scholarship Connection.
Okay.
So we've combined forces starting this year. So if this money, if they're able to put this together, it'll give us an opportunity to expand from 180 up to another 250, 280 kids on top of that for this next school year. And then more the next year and more the next year. It's very exciting possibilities.
Definitely. So the students that you serve, do you serve them in this building?
No, we serve, my youth advocates are in the buildings. They're in the school buildings.
In the school, all right.
Yeah, this is just an office area. Although we do bring kids over here for various events. We'll have a parent meeting here tomorrow night. We'll have a student council meeting on Wednesday. We'll have tutoring here on Thursday, et cetera. But in general, we're in the schools with the kids.
And are they still? And I remember last time we talked, you were in the sort of older Catholic school. You're still holding classes in there?
No, not this year. That was the old St. Anthony's school building, which the school district owns. I don't think they call it St. Anthony's anymore. I think it's just Anthony's. But they were nice enough, the district was nice enough to let us use that building for 4 years. So we would bring kids over at the end of the school day for tutoring and academic support. We don't do that now. We do our academic supports with the kids right in their buildings at the end of the day. It's more practical because our numbers have gotten so big. It's just not practical to bring all those kids over. Although I am looking at the possibility of something, a combination of the two next year. Because there's great value in getting them off site sometimes. Psychologically, they can get more focused, I think.
Great. So can you talk a little bit about putting a program together and how that process went? You said that Stephen Jones had this idea. You had, and he approached you and said, do you want to do it? Or is that...
Yeah. Yeah, basically. I mean, we would have conversations about how I was looking to do something else after I retired from the school district, and that I wanted to continue to do something to try to help the kids in the school district in Syracuse. It's what I've always done for 38 years, I think we're coming on. But so he said, maybe there is something. And then we started talking about it. Originally, we had only 27 kids the first year. And they were all middle school kids. And again, it was about the gang prevention thing. And the model in Rochester that we were replicating, I'm sorry, the model in Baltimore that we were replicating, was more of a, they were working mostly with kids that were in the juvenile justice system, that were on a probationary status. And while we have worked with such kids, that wasn't our major focus. We were really looking more to prevent. So what we did was we identified certain risk factors that research and common sense and our own experience told us were risk factors that would put a child in jeopardy of dropping out, in jeopardy of becoming gang affiliated, in jeopardy of becoming violent, in jeopardy of becoming early pregnant, et cetera, et cetera. And those risk factors have evolved, but what they are right now, and they've been essentially the same, we look at poverty. So we're looking at free and reduced lunch. We know that poverty in and of itself does not put a child at risk, but we also know that there's so many things that come with that in terms of our kids are almost always from single parent households. We know that the educational background of a child's mother is the greatest single indicator of whether that child is going to have difficulties in life. Almost none of our kids' parents have ever gone to college. Very few of them have graduated from high school. So we have those kind of risk factors. We also looked at whether the child had behavior issues. We looked at whether the child had attendance issues. We looked at whether the child had been retained before in school. Those were the basic risk factors that we identified. The child needed to have at least two of those risk factors in order to get in the program. What's interesting is now that we've joined up with Work Scholarship, with Hillside, they also have a list of risk factors, and they're essentially the same. And we thought we were kind of inventing it, but we weren't. So the first year, when you say, how did this all come together, you know, it definitely evolved. I mean, we certainly copied and replicated a lot of the things they were doing in Baltimore. But we definitely, right from the get-go, put more of a focus on the academic support than they did in Baltimore. What's funny is that the first 2 years, Baltimore kept coming up here and giving us advice and, you know, guidance and making sure we were adhering to their guidelines. And then after about the third or fourth year, they started asking us for tips because we were they felt that they were remiss in not making more of a focus on academics. So it's a, you know, we had to hire the right people, we had to hire the right advocates. The whole thing is based on relationships between those advocates and those kids, and you know, our structure evolved. We became more structured. We added, I think we went to 37 or 40 kids the second year. The third year, I think we were in around 60. Our fourth year, we had 90 kids. And this year, as I said, we have 180 right now. We're about to add a new youth advocate. We're interviewing next week. So we'll be up to 210 within a month.
210 students?
Yes.
Wow, and how many youth advocates is that then? What's that?
We have 8 youth advocates right now. We will have 9.
And how do you recruit those still? Or?
Well, we just advertise, and we really only have to put an article out there once. One ad on a Sunday usually does it, and we get all kinds of excellent people. You know, it's a one of the best things about us combining with Work Scholarship is we're now able to offer a higher salary than we were in the past, and we're also able to offer benefits. I was never able to offer benefits, so my folks were working, it's like joining Vista. You know, it was just a good thing for your resume. But now we're able to offer them a little more money and benefits and a chance for advancement, et cetera, because Hillside's a much bigger organization.
They can make a career out of it.
Yes, you could, yeah. Definitely, there's room for advancement, there's room for pay raises.
Now, what is Hillside?
Well, it's the Hillside family of agencies is the whole umbrella group. They're originally from Rochester. They've been in business for over 100 years, I believe. They much of what they do is with kids in who have mental health issues or in foster care situations. and I'm not sure all the details on that, Frank, because I'm not in that part of it, but but a wing of it is this work scholarship connection, and which is what we are, what I'm the executive director of here in Syracuse. That